Myanmar's government-run radio station is reporting that more than 22,000 people are confirmed dead and 41,000 are missing. But given the ruling military junta's record of severely limiting press freedom, how much trust can we put into what they're saying? With me now for a look at how press freedom in Myanmar is affecting post-cyclone Nargis recovery efforts is Bob Dietz, Asia Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Leonard.
First of all, what do you prefer, Myanmar or Burma?
We stick with Burma, frankly. It's the AP style, and both are arguably correct, but I think Burma is what we use.
How much can we trust the information coming out of the country about the destruction caused by the cyclone?
Not very much. I think partially because the government might want to cover things up, but there's also a question of how much does the government really know. They don't have very good information gathering systems throughout the country, although the area that was hit was the most densely populated, and they are strongest there. The sources that most people are relying on are the exile groups. There's a group called MISMA, which is based in India, and Irrawaddy, which is another opposition group, which run news services. And they've in the past proved to be fairly reliable. I wouldn't put them at the level of AP or something like that, but they're very well connected on the ground, and they've managed to infiltrate fairly deeply into the grassroots.
Weather forecasters in India, Burma's neighbor, have claimed that they gave 48 hours notice that Cyclone Nargis was on its way. Did the Burmese government issue any timely warnings?
Well, the government says it did, and that it used it controls all broadcast in Burma, and it said that it used its facilities to warn people that a cyclone was coming. What they weren't prepared for, I think, was this tidal surge that came with it. They said that they knew strong winds were headed their way, but they weren't aware of and then couldn't really measure the severity of the flooding that was headed their way. I think the government, if you accept that the government has very strong control, I mean they have it by the neck, it's in a very firm grip of broadcast media, that the government can get out information when it wants to. It certainly does a lot of news broadcasts, always pushing its line.
Well, how much penetration does it have? Does everyone have a radio? There are no TVs, are there?
There's TV and radio in Burma, and there is at times satellite reception, clandestine, mm-hmm. That gets other news, and that kind of permeates the societies fairly well by word of mouth.
Internet?
Internet connection is dodgy. A lot of internet cafes, fairly closely monitored, although not very well done, fairly ineptly done. If you remember last September, when we were seeing the street demonstrations, it started with the concerns about the rises in the price of fuel, and then really spread to more social disruption. In the end, most of the information was getting out either by cell phone or internet, and the government basically unplugged the internet in Yangon and Mandalay, and didn't use sophisticated filtering tactics or anything that we associate with China. Just basically unplugged the internet. And closed it down that way.
Now, you call it Yangon instead of Rangoon, but you call it Burma instead of Myanmar. Well, anyway, it's because it's so confusing. Are there any foreign reporters on the ground in Burma?
We're not aware of any. We've spoken to a lot of people who are stacked up in Bangkok, which is the traditional place from which to enter. They're not giving out visas to journalists. There was a BBC reporter who tried to get in a few days ago on a tourist visa. He was known to the authorities, and he was turned around. We've actually called on the government to allow foreign reporters in there because they do play a very important role. I think the government wants to maintain very tight control of this situation and control any of the embarrassment or any revelations of its ineptitude that might come out. But foreign journalists and journalists in general are the people who collect information, bring it back, and report it and make it known both to the government, to aid agencies, and anyone else interested in this sort of thing, including the general public. And my experience has been that in emergency situations like this, media have an incredibly important role to play of gathering and disseminating information to the population and to the government and donors.
Well, the regime's information minister suggested that only friendly countries will be allowed to even help.
Why doesn't that surprise us? Yes, I think India and Thailand are neighbors. They share some sort of cultural and regional identity, and I think they're the biggest players. I think you are looking at a regime which has been in power for how many decades now and is fairly paranoid.
Well, because if people came in and saw the extent of the damage, they actually might be in more of an outpouring of help, more sympathy for a country that right now has been pretty much made into a pariah state.
I think the government has become comfortable with that pariah state. I think to some extent they almost like it. It keeps people away, keeps them from interfering. They can certainly cope with people shouting for Aung San Suu Kyi's freedom or establishments of democracy from outside the borders. I think what it fears most is people coming inside the country and even just reporting accurately with no intention of disrupting or discrediting the government. I think the government sees that as a threat.
Bob Dietz is Asia Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists, and we have a link to the CPJ's website posted on our show page at WNYC.org if listeners want to find out more. I gather you'll be putting out an in-depth report about press freedom in Burma in the next day or two?
Yes, it's coming up. We updated to include this most recent information about Nargis, and it actually has some surprising information in it. The situation in Burma is bleak, the media situation, but there are a lot of loopholes and a lot of interesting things going on beneath this very oppressive hand that the government keeps on the country.
Were you surprised, just one other thing, were you surprised that the government decided not to suspend the elections that are scheduled for the near future?
No, I think that those elections and that constitutional referendum and all that, those moves towards democracy are a train that has been started by the government that's going to run down very well-defined tracks, and it's going to have a very clear outcome.
To keep them in power, you're saying?
Yes. I don't think you shouldn't see this as a move towards democracy. You should see this as the government's efforts to reaffirm its position and maybe put some window dressing of justification of its grip on power.
Mr. Dietz, thank you so much for talking with us.
Leonard, thank you.
Up next, the gurus of how to. Al and Larry Ubell will be answering your home repair questions. You can start calling us now. Our number is 212-433-9692. This is WNYC, WNYC.org, and now our whole show, the complete show, is available as a podcast.